My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Welcome to The Skeptic Metaphysician. I'm Will. I'm your host for this particular journey. My next guest is a mindfulness, meditation, and metaphysical teacher, but to say just that would be to do her a tremendous disservice. She is what some people refer to as a five C's clairvoyant. She also uses her gifts of clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairempathy, and has become a conscious channel and medium. But she hasn't always lived in that world. In fact, you may best recognize her from her work in Hollywood. Yep, that Hollywood, as an Emmy-nominated producer and correspondent for such shows as Access Hollywood, E! News, Today, Designing Spaces, and The Balancing Act. Friends, I am absolutely humbled to welcome to the show the incredibly talented Hollywood healer, Laura Saltman. Laura, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here. I'd love to talk about any topics that relate to the metaphysics. I could do it for hours. And sometimes I do on Clubhouse. Like, we'll literally get in these crazy conversations about it for hours.
Well, that's kind of right up my alley. That's exactly what I have these conversations. I can speak to someone like you for hours and hours, but we'll try to keep it contained so that people don't get overwhelmed with all the information we're going to give them.
Right, so. All right. I'm with you. I'm ready.
Okay, so for someone who's just tuning in, who may not necessarily understand what a conscious medium is, a channel and medium, or a 5C's clairvoyant, how would you describe what you consider yourself to be?
Well, I consider myself to be a soul being a human rather than a human being a soul. And I always like to tell people that everybody is clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, a clairempath. All of us, every single person on this planet, and beyond this planet, has these abilities. And we often will call them gift, like, oh, I'm a medium, I'm a channel, it's a gift. It's not a gift. It's a tuning in. It's tuning in to something that already exists within you. And either you haven't tuned in, you don't care to tune in, you don't want to tune in, or you've chosen to tune in. And what happens, what I've learned is, It's like a layer cake, like a 7-layer cake. And every time that you consume information, whether it's from an outside source, reading books, reading means, listening to podcasts like your podcast, you're like layering your things. And then as you go, you learn more things and you get more tuning in to different things. And that's all I've done differently than anybody else is I'm just tuned in. And there are many of us who have gotten to this level, but most people are still asleep on this planet too. What exists within them.
Okay, so we're definitely going to touch on that. But first, for those that may not know, I think most people have heard of clairvoyance, but not a lot of people will have heard clairempathy, clairsentience, clairaudience. What is that exactly? How does that pertain and how does that work?
So the word clair is a simple translation of the word clear. It just means clear hearing, clear seeing, clear knowing, clair feeling, right? So if you're a clair empath, then you are, you can feel what others are feeling. You can sense their energy. You know when someone's up, down, happy, excited, acting crazy. So it's just being so clear. And that's what the whole clair and clear is. It's being very clear, tuned in to those feelings and sensations to be able to see. So I'm clairaudient and clairsentient, so I can both hear and see. And then I'm a clairempath, so I can feel what people are feeling. And again, it's everybody could do it. It's just have you do it. And even if you don't realize, a lot of us are empaths actually on this planet. When you see a story in the media and you see somebody who's going through struggles and pains and you feel sadness, upset, guess what? You're a clairempath. You're tuning in right then and there because you are resonating with what it feels like for whatever that person is going through.
It makes perfect sense. Thanks for that explanation. Now, you're also a conscious channel and medium. Now, I think a lot of people understand what a medium is, but what's the difference between a conscious and an unconscious? Clarify that for us first.
So I can totally explain that. And I didn't know any of these things until I actually started channeling. And I remember I actually went to somebody who was a medium and a channel years before this all sort of opened up in me. And I was like, what is a channel? I have no idea. And I started researching it. And she told me I was a channel and that one day I would use that. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but whatever. Okay. Of course, she was totally right. And I went like on the rabbit hole of like, what's a channel? What does that mean? And so I started finding all these channels that they're called trance channels. And basically they go into this trance and they allow a spirit and energy to come through and they'll speak through them and they'll shut down their mind to allow that mind to come in. That's a trance channel. So that is actually an unconscious channel.
So someone who's just not there, someone's speaking through them.
Someone's speaking through them and they sort of go into like where they're just like it's almost like they're asleep. If they went to bed and they went to sleep and then somebody took over their body and popped in and could speak words through them. Gotcha. That's an unconscious channel. That's a trance channel. So a conscious channel is somebody who is completely 100% conscious of what's happening. So if I do channel, I know that there's an energy, a spirit, whatever it is in the room who wants me to speak for them. I very rarely have somebody pop in who like really overtakes me because I guess I'm very like, let's not do that. I'm not into that. Okay. Like we're good.
Yeah, like, we need borders, right? We need boundaries.
Like, come on now. But every once in a while there was actually, and it's funny because people when I channel think that I am like a total nut job because they hear my voice, but it's the words come so rapidly. I speak like, so that I can't get Laura in there. And then the words just come through. One time I had this like grandma come in and it was so funny. And even I can laugh about it. And she wanted me to use her voice. And she was like, hello, darling, it's grandma. And I was like, oh my God, this person must think I'm a total nutball, but I couldn't not do it. She just wouldn't let it. And then another time I was channeling for somebody and it was her son. And he had a very deep voice and like he sort of changed my voice to that. But for the most part, I'm able to like not do that. And just it's my voice speaking words incredibly rapidly that it would be really hard for me to get my words like that fast and to really think on my feet like that. Like I'd be very impressed with me if I could make all that up. But it's a really interesting. And then a lot of times, like as I'm doing it, information will come through that will be like the confirmations that people are looking for, that whoever is trying to speak to them. What I find with channeling, and I don't know if this is true for everybody because I don't know a ton of channels, but for me and a couple people that I do know, a channeling is more like it's coming from like a higher self, higher consciousness. It's always like a very loving, kind message of here's how you could be living your life. Here's what's missing in life. Rather than mediumship, to me, is where you're able to get more information from like an actual person on the other side. So there is definitely a difference between the information that comes through. So it's subtle, but there is a distinction that I've found. And again, I've only met a few channels in my life, so I can't tell you how everybody works.
That's interesting because I was going to ask you to clarify a channel, are you channeling someone from who has passed on or is that information come from just the universe or where is that? How's that come to?
Yeah. So different. I've channeled people who have crossed over. I've channeled people's loved ones who have died. And then I've also channeled what we term as masters or angels. A lot of people use that term angels here on earth, which I actually don't use anymore because now I sort of resonate with it. They're not angels. That's just a representation that we have on earth of what is basically a hierarchical soul. It's somebody who's just elevated their conscious further than we have, and they're able to come in. And the representation of the wings is really about they've so let go of the notion of who they think they are and know who they truly are that they really are able to fly free. So that's where the angel, the wings representation comes in. But they're just more hierarchical souls. And what I've also learned, and this is more recently, is there's sort of like a hierarchy of souls and what they can do, like what ability somebody on the other side has is how elevated their consciousness is. So somebody who is an extremely elevated consciousness can do a lot more things and get a lot more information through to us on this side. Whereas someone who just crossed over and they're sort of finding their footing, they may not be able to pop in as easily. So I find that children who have crossed over are much more able to connect to us in a very deeply energetic way. I literally had a little girl flushing my toilet and banging on my walls. That had never happened to me before. And she was like hanging around me and I didn't know who she was or what her deal was. And then I ended up reading for a client down in Miami. And it turned out it was for that client. And this little girl, she was representing herself as a little girl, was for her. And I was like, why were you able to do that? Like, why were you able to flush my toilet? And what she was saying was that when you are a more advanced hierarchical soul, you have a little more skills. I had one spirit that always says he's got mad skills because he can do things that other people can't on the other side. And he also is a child, not a child, but he's in his 20s. So it's just really interesting. And the spirits on the other side represent themselves as they were in this life. So that doesn't mean that on the other side, he's still, or she is, or whatever, a little girl or a 20-year-old or even a 30-year-old. It's just that they're representing themselves as who we knew them in this lifetime.
Gotcha. I have so many questions. I know we're not going to get to all of them because you bring up more and more the more you talk, the more questions pop into my mind. There's a distinct difference between being clairvoyant or psychic and being a channel or medium. So you actually are able to straddle both sides of that fence. Do you use one more than the other, or is it more as you're moved? How does that work?
Well, Laura doesn't do any of it. I like when I work with clients who come to me, it's really what do they need? And so they come in and I don't have an agenda. Like I'm just like, okay, let's see what comes in. And then I sort of get called and I don't know how to describe it other than it's like the super cute computer of the infinite intelligence. And I turn on the supercomputer and then I start to get downloads and whatever I'm supposed to be doing is what I'll get. So you can't see me, but like I have a bunch of tarot decks all around me right now and I will somehow have a knowing and that's all I can say it of like, oh my, it's okay. I need to pull this tarot deck or I need to pull a card from here or wait a minute, somebody's here and they want to talk to you. Or I'll get that intuitive knowing of like, oh no, somebody wants to channel. They want me to speak for them. Or I'll know that they don't know how to channel because not every soul on the other side knows how to channel. They don't know how to speak through somebody. So sometimes they'll just kind of hang about and see what information. So it's just whatever is the message that you need to hear is what will come through. So I don't guide it. I'm sort of guided by this team on the other side, whatever that looks like, feels like. I don't, you know, I really don't have any description for it, but I definitely have sort of this team that comes with me and just pops in and gives me a knowing of what needs to come through.
So what do you say to people that come to you and just are absolute, I don't even want to say the word skeptic, because a skeptic is someone who actually perhaps has an interest in learning, but truly are just not interested and in fact are almost hateful about this is baloney. This is not real. This is, you are making things up. How do you handle something like that?
Listen, here's what I know. Everybody's in the place that they are for a reason. If they're a skeptic, they're a skeptic because that's what they chose on a spirit of the soul level to come in. And so if they're a skeptic, I just hold space for them. And I know for them and I get clients who will come to me once and it'll be one and done and then I'll never hear from them ever again. And those are typically some people are a little bit more skeptic. And then I'll get a client who will like, they will go down the rabbit hole. Like the minute that they start working with me, all of a sudden they just got to know, they got to figure it out. And then they'll become healers themselves. And then I get clients who are just desperate to hear from somebody on the other side. And I just know that everybody is in the place that they are because they have chosen it as a soul. And I don't really get upset. And I know enough. It's like at some point after you've read hundreds and hundreds of people, you've talked to people on the other side, you've brought through all these confirmations. I've channeled 4 books as almost like I always call it like the court stenographer. Like I'm just listening. And I literally like channel books. I don't copy edit them. I don't change a word. It's just like I ask a question and I get an answer or I just write chapters and chapters. Right. So for me, it's like when someone brings in their humanness, I just kind of laugh like you have no idea what waits for you when you cross from this veil and go over to our other side, heaven, whatever you want to call it. Like it's really hard to shake me because I've just been doing this now for 7 years and I have so much information. I could tell you story upon story upon story of like life altering, shifting things that change my perspective about who we all are and why we're all here.
It sounds like you're going to have to come back again because we have so much to talk about. I'm so curious about some of these life-changing stories. Before we go any further, I want to make sure that I also mentioned that you do more than just channeling and your five C's, let's say, right? You also do what you call intuitive soul sessions. You do past life regressions. You mentioned the tarot, angel wisdom, oracle readings, all that kind of modalities that everyone kind of lumps in together. They're really very specific tools that everybody uses. It's a very different technique. And you mentioned your four books that you channeled. And I smile because my all-time favorite book is a book that was written like that. It's called Conversations with God. And it was truly life-changing. I still read it every day. Every day to this day in the mornings, I read a chapter of it because it speaks to me, right? But the four books that you channeled, wrote, it's all about something that you call the all, right? The books are the all of everything, the all of the all that is, and the wisdom of the all, which is coming out this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? Yep.
So what is this all?
Yes. I love when people say the books that you like I came up with the all. I didn't come up with the all, not as Laura, not as the human Laura. Like I didn't come up with that. If you told me 20 years ago, I was going to write a book, I was going to be doing all the things, I would have laughed in your face as I was standing there in my glamorous gown on the red carpet where you could this all you want up, but like, whatever, dude. It started, and I'm so glad you mentioned Conversation with God, because that book is what inspired me to do this. Because as you know, in Conversations with God, towards the very beginning, it says anything that Neil can do, Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote it, you can too. You can all talk to God. All of us can talk to God, right? None of us is left out of that conversation. And I not only read his books, but I listened to him as well. So I had, you know, I consumed a lot of it, and it just always like nagged at me, like, can I do this? Can I have that conversation? And I felt like in journaling that I was having some revelations that were coming to me. So I went back through my journals and I was like, I feel like I'm getting some downloads here. Let me see what I got. So I just sat down in the middle of the night, and this was, you know, now going on four years ago, I think. And I, exactly as he said, he sat down in the middle of the night, his life was sucky. I think he had gotten to a car accident and hurt his back or something. And he just started asking questions. And I did the same thing. I just started asking questions. And in the beginning, if you read my books, you'll see that from the beginning of the first book all the way to the end of Wisdom of the All, you'll see how different it becomes, how it just sort of was like a few lines here and there to like paragraphs and paragraphs. Mm. So as I started to write, I would say somewhere around like page 60 of my journal where I was like, okay, Neil said, I can do this. It became very clear that there was something that I was doing that was different than just writing. And so I just kept writing and writing. And then 6 weeks later, it only took me 6 weeks to write my first book. I was like, wow, I think this is a book. And at the end, and this is answering your question, at the end of, I think like this, the third chapter, they said, the voice that I hear said, we're getting to the end of this book, which we would call the all of everything. I was like, oh, okay, we're calling this the all of everything. And I didn't know what the title, I didn't know I was creating three books. I didn't know I was creating four books. So then the titles came to me, the all of the all, and then all that is. And then the wisdom of the all actually came from my son. We were sitting at the dinner table, and I think I was still writing my second book. And he looks at me, he's like, mommy, he's like, you're going to write a book. It's going to be wisdom of the all. And I was like, wait, what? And sure enough, like he was channeling his little inner voice too. Wow. So, and that's why I say, as I said in the beginning, you know, we're all capable of tuning into this information and getting these downloads and getting our own inner advice from that higher self, God, source, universe, infinite intelligence. What, I mean, there's so many names for it right now. And I love to see that we have so much more out there about what the infinite is and why we're all here on this earth and who we all are. But that's what the all represents. The all is a term for the infinite, for God, for source, for whatever you call the energy from which we all come, which is one thing. We're one thing separated into individual things.
What about people who and you kind of alluded to it a little bit at the very beginning of our conversation, but what are people who claim or who say, I wish claim is a an ugly word, but who say that they are not of this earth, but they're not, that they are actually from other earths, dimensions, whatever. Is that something that you are familiar with? Or
yes. Yeah. I mean, listen, every question that you have, I've asked, and it's all in my books. So I've asked all these questions. I mean, it's really hard to explain. Like I said, I could talk for hours about this, how, you know, there's simultaneous lives, parallel existences that are going on. And so I don't question what people think or say or believe, because that's their journey. I'm at a point where I don't judge people. Like, if that's what you believe, I know from my books that there are absolutely parallel and perpendicular universes. I know from my books that Earth is not the only thing. And I know from being a little kid, when people used to say that Earth was the only thing, that I would laugh and be like, yeah, you really think that all of us just ended up here and we're the only thing that exists? Like, give me a break. Like, even as a little kid, I just thought that was the stupidest concept. Like, that we're so pompous on Earth that we think we're the only thing. So I know there's other places and spaces. I know there's other worlds that exist. It's just that we have this amnesia of the soul where we don't remember of this, any of this. In terms of the, like, coming from other planets, all I can tell you on that is that I have done readings for people and have gotten specific information that there absolutely are people who come here from other, they've been on other planets and other places, and they come to Earth to learn whatever lessons they're going to learn on Earth. They have the amnesia of the soul, but at some point, something in them resonates with not being of Earth all the time. And so I have definitely done readings with people I've never met in my entire life, didn't know a damn thing about them, who I'll start doing channeling or I'll start pulling tarot cards. And the first thing that'll come up for me, I'll be like, wow, I don't think you're actually from Earth. I think you came here. And then they'll be like, oh my God, finally somebody who, like, and so they get so excited. Because it all starts to make sense for them. Like, why am I struggling here? And I find that there are a lot of people here that have come from other planets where the vernacular of that planet isn't fear. So on Earth, you know, you're reading in conversation with God that we are here to learn about unconditional love through the lens of fear. And that's what Earth is all about. But on other planets, they don't have that opposite of fear. They have some other opposite. So Earth is a very difficult planet because we're here to learn about fear. And so people who I've channeled with and done readings with will have a really hard time being here because they come from a more loving place where they've been, even though they have the amnesia of the soul when they come here. But they're so upset that the Earth is the way it is and how horrible it is because they've been other places and they're just like, right, it's not there. Like, it's just not like that on other planets. And I don't really know because I haven't gotten that far. I haven't, maybe I'm not asking the right questions, so I haven't gotten the answers, and they'll come in some later books. I don't know what the opposites of, like, I know that Earth is love and fear. Fear is our opposite. I know that on some planets they're already awakened and they learn through the lens of love completely and fully, and they know that they can tap into the infinite resources. I know there's other planets where they're learning about different things. I just don't know what those other things are yet. Like, I don't know what the opposite is on some other planets, but I 100% know that there are other places and spaces that exist where fragments of us exist as well, doing other things, learning other things. And it's all very crazy, but we get clues all day, every day, in our dreams, with our physical eyes, when we close our eyes and go into meditation, the clues are all around us of what exists. And I love a line from my book, Wisdom of the All. And it says about the universe, the infinite, that we are the life preserver and the brick. And I love that, because what that means is that this infinite intelligence that runs everything wants us being skeptical. Because if we know everything, then we're not learning anything. Like, what's the point of being here? We've already learned everything. Right. So they will throw us these red herrings. They will throw us into circumstances to throw us off course, while at the same time offering us a life preserver to save us from ourselves. So it's like, here's a brick. I'm going to throw you down a staircase, which is what happened to me. Here's a brick. I'm going to show you a terrible, horrible thing that happened. Here's a big collective brick. It's called coronavirus. But at the same time, there's always signs, messages, synchronicities, confirmations that exists for us to say, guess what? We're not alone. In fact, I saw a story just to speak to that. A woman that I know who's very religious and helps to run a Catholic organization. And she had coronavirus. And so she's been using Instacart. And so she has been at home. And the person who sent her the Instacart and said, oh, I'm your shopper. And anything you need, just let me know. His name was Jesus C. Wow. I was like, oh my God, I love it. Wow. What an incredible confirmation, synchronicity for her based on what she believes,
right,
to have that, like of all the names that could have been there during a time in her life when she was struggling a little bit. And that, right, just like, that's how the infinite speaks to us. It's just so beautiful. And I have thousands of those. I take pictures of my synchronicities and my confirmations and the spirit animals that come to me. And so I always want to remind people to look for those, because when you look for those, life becomes a little bit more magical.
And that's something else that the book Conversations with God talks about, right? That the universe or God will speak to you in the manner in which you need to be spoken to so you can understand the message.
Yeah.
The only thing is, don't you wish that they were a little bit less twisted? Like, who needs that particular brick? Who needs a coronavirus brick? Is it that we are the redheaded stepchildren of the universe and we're subjugated to Earth, the bad place?
Let me write that down. I'm going to ask that question in my next book. Are we the redheaded stepchild of the universe? I love that. Why don't you ask that? Maybe you start journaling and ask that question and see what answer comes to you. Because I've got 4 books of basically saying the exact same thing over and over again in 100 different ways to explain to me who we are, why we're all here, how we can make our lives work better, while at the same time saying, listen, there's going to be some circumstances in order to evolve, in order to, you know, ascend up the ladder of enlightenment, to get back to an unconditional love. These are the things you go through. But as a human, it's just like, are you fucking kidding me with all the shit that goes on in this like earth? Like, why would we murder each other? Like, why is that okay? If this is a school of learning to evolve, like, why? Like, why do all these horrible things? Like, why did I fall down the staircase and break my wrist? Why did my brother get cancer? Why do kids, like, these are all the questions that all of us have. And all that spirit, God, source, the infinite says over and over repeatedly is at the level of vibration that we're all currently vibrating on earth, we can never understand that. We'll never understand it. So the best that we can do is to absorb the information as if it's fact and truth and trust. We have to trust that there is something more than we all see. And you've heard this term, I'm sure, in the spiritual community about it, this being the illusion, that earth is an illusion and all of this is an illusion. And of course, even Neil Donald Walsh is always fighting against that, like, because it doesn't feel like an illusion. It feels very real. And it feels like, you know, when I broke my wrist hurts. My son is dealing with a rash under his nose. It feels really real to him. And again, spirit will always say, listen, it's like, they're like my, you know, older brother being like, listen, totally get it. I know what you mean, but here's the truth. It's not real. And when you cross back over to the other side, you will realize that thing. It's like, if you've ever had a dream that felt immensely real and you were so confident that you were awake, when you cross to the other side, I think that's what this is going to feel like. Like, you're going to be like, oh my God, that was totally a dream. And you're going to get there and be like, wow, okay. And it'll resonate that way. But right now it just feels so real. So we're going to continue to show up and question and be skeptics. And it's all good. Like, we're all good. No matter where you are in your journey, bless that place. It's part of the process. And guess what? You're going to find out when you eventually transition over to the other side that all of this was a big elaborate ruse.
Well, I will admit that some of the most difficult parts of my life have netted in the biggest growth for me, for my family. So I get what you're saying, yeah, and I get what Neil Donald Walsh was saying in the book, or what God was saying through him. But man, there's got to be an easier way, a smoother, softer way, right?
Well, but you answered your own question. The obstacle is the way. I mean, what lesson is ever going to be learned when it's not that right. powerful. Like what? And you know, here's what happens: evolve or repeat. So, like with coronavirus, if we didn't learn our lesson, and what was the larger lesson? First of all, it was to make sure that you were using going in. It was about going in, staying in. Like the message was right there. It was about using your own intuition and your own inner knowledge. It was about staying. It was about family. It was about connection. It was about protecting our environment, having reverence for the earth that we live in that nobody owns. Like no one owns earth. Like, you know, you've put your little flag in and say, this is my land. Well, that's bullshit. Nobody owns anything. Everything belongs to all, but we just decided that. So in order to learn our lessons, Spirit has said to me, listen to your whispers before they become a scream, because they will give us nuggets. And the universe has been offering us that throughout time of trying to evolve us out of our patterns of hating one another, of treating each other, of killing people. But we haven't learned our lessons. So we keep having repeated scenarios come in. So if we haven't learned our lesson through coronavirus about taking care of one another, about communing with one another, about taking care of our earth, I promise you that in some other elaborate way, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, a similar circumstance will happen and it could be possibly worse. So sometimes you have to be slapped over in order to actually learn the lesson. And I met someone recently who got into a car accident and was in a wheelchair, and he fortunately was able to walk again. And he said to me, and I knew he was going to say it, he's like, you know what, Laura, that was the best thing that ever happened to me because it taught me about reverence for life. And I mean, if you podcast and you continue to talk to people and you meet people like that, you will realize that most people who have suffered will say that it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it shifted me out of fear. It reminded me to show up, to love my family, to be a better mom, a better dad, whatever things. And so unfortunately, as humans, it takes us like getting bonked over the head rather than the whisper, right? The whisper is the scream. So the good news is, if you have chosen to awaken in some wonderful way and you start to do the inner work that reminds you to that, then those lessons become a lot easier and you recognize them very quickly so that your whisper doesn't become a scream. Maybe your whisper becomes a yell, not a scream. And then a few more times of getting knocked down, you're like, okay, wait a minute. I am not going to go through that again. I'm going to show up. I'm going to fix what's going on inside of my mind, inside my brain, the thoughts that are running, the habitual pattern thoughts. And so I can get ahead of this rather than letting it bring me down. So, and I totally get what you're saying about why things have to be so hard. And I know the answer, whether I love the answer or not, it doesn't matter. Like, yes, I'm with you. I'm team. Like, can we be a little nicer to us, please? Yeah, but then I think, then I think the answer is then you wouldn't learn, right? Then you guys wouldn't learn. And so.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. So.
Yeah. Well, think of that collectively.
I would rather not.
But that's it. I mean, we're going through individual things and we're going through collective things as well. So those catastrophic events,
right,
both individually and collectively, are exactly that. They're to move us forward. When you can look at it through the eyes of the universe, infinite love, then it becomes very different to see it. And that's just, it's the same about tuning into your clair senses. The more work that you do, or the more inner work that you do, the amnesia that we've given ourselves, the amnesia of the soul, starts to go away. And then you do start to remember and you do start to see the world a little bit differently, so that those things that we see that are tragic, we can send love to the people that are going through them. We can hold space for them. We can see it through the eyes of the infinite, through the eyes of love, have the empathy that we have as humans, and not let it affect us. And the truth is that if we want to elevate this planet, if we want to make it a more loving planet as a whole, we have to be willing to see it that way. We have to be willing to do this inner work and inner healing that's going to elevate our consciousness so that we can help elevate the planet. And I truly believe that in our lifetime, that we could get to about probably 20 to 25% of the planet awakened. And then imagine the world we would live in if 25% of us came from a space of love, where we offered unconditional love, where we were about community and taking care of the planet, how we could affect change on this planet.
That's a powerful message. And I personally am hoping that that is the case. That's what happens, because the world, as you know, really needs it right now. We're in a little bit of a mess. So I think we each need to step up and do our part to make it a better place. So Laura, I could honestly talk to you for weeks, maybe. We didn't even talk about the fact that you are a healer, a Hollywood healer, right? To the stars, right? You channel to celebrities on a regular basis. Didn't get a chance to talk about that. Please come back.
Yes, I would love to.
I would love to have you again to talk more in depth about some of this stuff, because we're literally just kind of scratching the surface, right?
Yeah.
So before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, is there anything that you're getting, any messages that I'm supposed to receive from you or anything like that?
Yeah, because you're receiving them right now in terms of like, what am I bringing through? And there's one thing I will never do, is that I will never fake it. I will never lie. I will never, if I don't get it, I don't get it. And the reason is that I always know, like, you're meant to hear. So what were you meant to hear tonight? You were meant to hear concepts from my books, rather than getting messages from dads, moms, you know, brothers, sisters. Like, right. That's not it. But I have definitely done podcasts where all of a sudden I'm like, there's somebody here, but I'm not getting that. So I just know that the message for you tonight was just to really listen and almost like going deeper and further in your perception about what life really is all about. And so as you go deeper, your skepticism, which is warranted, will begin to go away. And actually, I think you'll go back through these earlier podcasts and it'll be like, oh my God, I totally get what that person was saying now. Totally understand that. You can read Conversations with God 5 years from now and you'll have a completely different experience of it, because you'll be at a level of consciousness that will resonate. There's so many times I've read books where I'm like, I don't know what the hell that book's saying. And then as I've deepened my practices and deepened my knowledge and got rid of my amnesia, I was like, oh my God, I totally get that now. That makes sense now. It all resonates. So I think this whole conversation was about like getting you even more like going further. And also I would just implore you to write your own conversation. Like the questions that you have, that question I wrote it down about, why are we the redheaded stepchild of the infinite? Ask that question and see what comes to you. Like, start being curious. And if writing works for you, write it down and then just see what comes to you. Get rid of distractions, get rid of noise, turn the TVs off, the phones off, and just sit and be, and then just see what comes to you. Because you would be shocked, the information that is actually coming to you all the time. You're just not listening. You just don't hear it.
I am definitely going to do that. For sure.
Because I get downloads, like literally, I go a lot on, you know, Clubhouse, which I'm a huge fan of right now. And as the other everyone's blah, 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 talking, and I'm just like trying to listen, all of a sudden, like that's when the downloads come in and I'm like, all these things. And then I notice that other people are offering words of wisdom, not realizing that they're channeling. And by the way, most movies, TV, music, poems are channeled. You're the Star Wars trilogy, well, it's not a trilogy anymore. It's a channeled work. The Star Wars is about love and fear. If you watch the entire series from that perspective, it will change your entire view of it. The Jedi were using the force of love, and the dark side, the Empire, Darth Vader, Emperor Palpatine, are using fear. Right. It's the entire series is about that. And there's so many works in this world that are actually channeled by people who sat down, got into that level of being, got rid of the noise and distractions, and then these beautiful, eloquent, amazing songs, poems, artwork, it all came out of them from their own channeling. So that goes back to what we said at the beginning about we're all capable of these type of things when we just get rid of the noise of our human.
Right. Well, you are definitely inspiring me to do just that. I think I will probably take you up on it this weekend. I'll give it a shot, see what happens, right? We're going to put your website and your contact information and everything in our show notes. So if anybody's interested in reaching out to you, you can reach her through the links in our show notes. Her books are The All of Everything, The All of the All, The All That Is, and Wisdom of the All. And that, when does that come out? The last one?
That's coming out about 6 weeks.
Okay. So
it's almost there.
Some point in the near future. If you're interested, if someone's interested in getting those books, where can they find them?
So everything's on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Walmart, everything's online right now. So you just, and if you just Google it, you'll find where you can find it. I'm very Googleable. You can find me pretty much anywhere. I'm very easy to find.
So. Yep. And your website is very easy. It's laurasaltman.com. So, yep. You are very easy to find. A lot of information about you on that website. A lot of information about you. I would urge anyone listening to this podcast to go out, check you out, because you've got some incredible stuff that you can share with people. So again, thank you so much for coming on. I know that you had to take time out of your day for, and I really truly appreciate it. And I do hope that you come back. I do hope that we can continue the dialogue, because I think we really truly were just getting started, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Like I said, we could talk for hours. So, and I love this topic. So thank you for having me on. And if you are a skeptic, that's okay. It's okay. But you know what? If you're even listening to this, it tells me that there is a ping of interest within you about what really is happening here on Earth.
Absolutely. There's a lot of us out there trying to find, I call it proof, but it's more about trying to find that thing that really helps us to open up our eyes and wake up.
Yes. I call it remembering. So you can remember. And my books, just to be honest, I mean, if you like conversations with God, I always say my books are conversations with God for dummies.
Right up my alley then.
Well, you know, it's like, because I was a journalist and I was taught to write for people with a fifth grade education. And so it's very easy, accessible language. It's my life and all my, like all my crazy questions and everything that's going on with my life. And my next book, Wisdom of the All, is a guidebook, a workbook. It's got exercises. It really is a beautiful work. The first three are more journaly. It's a more of a Q&A, very similar to Conversation with God, just a modern day version. And then Wisdom of the All is a 27 steps to love. And there's different workbook exercises, and it's more of a directly channeled. There is some Q&A, but it's more of a directly channeled, and it's really amazing. And when I read it, it's like reading somebody else's book. Like, I don't remember even writing half of it. I don't even know. Like, I'm half the time I'm like, did I really write this? Like, how I'm not capable of this. It's how I know I didn't write it. Cause I was like, I can't make this shit up. Like, there's just no way. And it's beautiful because it's like, you say you read Conversation with God and you read a chapter every morning. That's what I do with my own books. I read my own books back because it's like reading somebody else's book. So it's been a fascinating journey. And, I hope anybody who's interested will look them up and find them.
I, for one, I'm going to, as soon as we stop recording, I'm going to go on Amazon and buy your book, because it sounds exactly like something that I would love to read. So, Laura, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you again sometime in the near future. And for those who are listening in, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Thanks for coming on this journey with us. If you have any questions or concerns, don't ever hesitate to reach out. We're all on the same journey together. Please like, subscribe, share. If you feel you know someone that might get something out of this message that Laura has sent to us, please, by all means, share this with them, because we want to try to get into as many people's hands or ears as possible. It's time to say see you later. Until next time, this has been The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until next time.